Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble. This is a real test of how competent your owners are.
Yeah, talking to you, Newcastle. Talking to you, West Ham.
The piss potty.
Yeah.
The rules are the rules.
But the rules
don't
are...
Don't spend all the money then. It's a thin end of the wedge, though, Jim. I mean, you know,
before you know it, you've got Ash the Bash on the back of the shirt.
How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat, everybody? Welcome to the Football Ramble. The cup's set in Bristol and Mourinho's been sacked. It's Wednesday, 17th of Jan. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidisha Hantaraja.
Hello, everybody. It's a wonderful Wednesday on the Football Ramble. And thanks to friend of the Ramble, Jason Downs, for sending us today's intro line. You can become a friend of the Ramble by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. And if you do, your life will be enriched and you may even get a kiss from Vish. There will be a special...
Kiss me on the nose.
Or wherever.
Wherever, yeah.
Within
wherever,
reason. The nose.
Within reason.
The nose.
You let them... like whittle you down to kissing someone on the nose there.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're gonna. I'm a sucker for peer pressure.
There don't say sucker. You'll also get a special extended version of the Ramble today and every single Wednesday for just $5 a month. So head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Gentlemen, a cup set in the west of England, in Bristol, more specifically. Bristol City 1, West Ham United 0. How about that, Jim Campbell?
Yeah, it was. I suppose it was a cup set, wasn't it? But it was a brilliant performance for Bristol City.
Do you think Bristol City fans will be happy about that? They just knocked out a Premier League side and you went, well, I suppose it's a cup set.
Well, I guess they'll just have to
no
enjoy
it. No further
their own...
questions, Your Honour.
It was a massive win for them, Jim, wasn't it?
I enjoyed it. That's what I said.
All right.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell
Jim's
you what,
more of a Rovers fan, to be fair, isn't he?
You're gassed, are you, Jim? Yeah.
I'm not, no. Based on what I've seen of the two, I much prefer Bristol City because that's probably the first time I've watched either of them for a full 90 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
So well done them.
Well done for getting them back on side.
Yeah, they'll be loving you now, Jim. I tell you
no,
what.
They were brilliant.
Let me put the statue up for you outside Ashton Gate after that.
Don't you worry, everybody. We know what to do with that. People of Bristol certainly do.
Yeah,
so it was a great win, despite what anyone thinks. West Ham, of course, were down to 10 men. That was one of the talking points of the game. But what about the goal? 3 minutes in, Vidisha Hantaraja. pressure, and it was a lovely bit of opportunism from Conway.
Yes, it's always nice to see a goal that emanates from an almost chance at the other end.
Yeah.
And a keeper slide clearance that goes 70 yards.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was... this game was exactly what you needed it to be, because it felt like a bit of an afterthought in that it was an FA Cup replay. Mm-hmm. It was in a week that those Premier League teams specifically...
It's a nice little bonus game.
Yeah,
you could tell you got a game on tonight. Great.
And you feel like two teams without much history beyond, obviously, the original third.
I tell you what.
With each other.
Okay.
And then suddenly it just kicks off.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone who kind of... You imagine the players wanted to get in and out, yeah, and they were like, actually, fuck this. Let's fuck them up.
Who kicked off the most?
I would say, you know what, off. Benrahma. So
he wasn't the worst defender in the night.
No, not at all.
He was just a stupid one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like everyone got away with it because it was grounds on like getting the ball. That they could always argue that.
I think it was Joe Williams, wasn't it? Set the tone very early. Yeah. Him and Danny Ings had a Danny Ding Dong, I suppose you might call it. And then from then on, it was very, very full blooded. I was actually a bit concerned for Bristol City at points because they were going into everything, thundering in at 100 miles an hour, and that got more extreme after Benrahma went off. And I was thinking, you're either going to get someone else sent off or you're going to completely run out of gas. Mm-hmm. Sorry to use that phrase. Yeah. but they didn't. Well, they more than held on. They were sort of, you know, plugging away for a second one late on.
It felt like Liam Manning must have said to them, go as hard as you can, as early as you can. The tempo and the intensity from the start was far, far greater than West Ham were either capable of or wanted to apply, given that, you know, West Ham had some fringe players come in and probably didn't even really want to play the game, given the schedule and all the rest of it. And the goal, Tommy Conway's goal, came from just a huge amount of intensity.
Yeah.
Him getting ahead of the ball, getting to the ball ahead of Fabianski, and obviously he also took like quite a pleasing amount of time to put it in the net.
Yeah,
as well.
Very composed.
How often do you see players miss that opportunity?
Yeah, exactly.
Like very specific.
Well, it was
thing.
Very composed because, again, you know, the stadium, they're all up for it, and as you say, boom, straight from the off they go. And then to have a bit of composure, of course, it's a chance he should put away, but you do need to put it away.
Also, he gets tripped by Fabianski, and you think, I'm glad you didn't go down there, mate. Because this is, you know, you've now got the winner.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. David Moyes was angry because of the VAR situation, saying, this is ridiculous. You have it in one round, or you have it in some places and not in others. But Benrahma, that was definitely a red card.
You can't kick someone in the balls, however cleverly you do it.
Yeah.
And doing it from the floor where your legs are at their, you know, are higher than your head, but that's not a wise way to do it.
Yeah, but it was because it went all crazy, didn't it? It was a big challenge going in.
And they fouled each other, let's be honest.
Yeah,
it was Tanner on Emerson that kicks it off.
That's right.
And then that provokes the second tackle very quickly.
But
after
you've
that.
Just got to be not the most obvious one in that situation.
VAR's not going to overturn that anyway.
Yeah, no, of course.
But, but did you not think that Benrahma's reaction to the red card was of a man who knew exactly what they were going to do, and B, realised how stupid he was?
And also, he's never been sent off before, so he's probably just a bit confused. So what do I do now?
Yeah,
I've seen that before, but not for me.
Are we doing sin bins now?
Yeah,
an early bath. There's no bath.
But I did think that. If David Moyes was going to complain about anything, I didn't actually see the post-match interview where he complained about VAR. I didn't see that one. But if he was going to complain about anything, I think he probably would have had a right to complain about the fact that Bristol City played right on the edge. And that's being generous. You know, if you look at a player like Danny Ings, who's had some bad injuries, he was on the end of a couple of bad ones. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I can't exactly remember what he was mouthing. You could kind of lip read it. But he was honestly saying to the referee, really? I mean, you're going to let that go? Because you get him clattered.
Well, Bowen was out injured.
Exactly.
From this game, wasn't he?
Exactly. The first game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just felt like, you know, clearly there's an imbalance of priorities. It's a massive game. I don't mean this to be disrespectful to Bristol City, but it's a bigger game for them than it is for West Ham. They approached the game in that way, and they knew that to be competitive. But I just felt like they played right on the very edge, in a way that it was a bit of a throwback. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the referee did a brilliant job of staying on top of it, because if he had done, I don't think that skirmish where all those challenges ended in the Benrahma red card would have actually happened.
There was a sort of off-the-ball punch as
that's
well.
Right.
Yes, like, I mean, on Cresswell.
Punch in a sort of, in the wrestling, in a football sense. Term of the word. Absolutely. Yeah. And that surely would have been...
Well, he was lucky.
Reverted.
I thought he was lucky.
So maybe that's what Moyes was talking about when it comes to the VAR thing, maybe.
Yeah, although after that big chat we had about Moyes and then after this game, I'm a Moyes out man now.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Well, you think that you, the thing is,
just want to go with the tide.
We, yeah, well, you got to, yeah, go with the way.
Last
the
thing I want is to have a backbone.
You, all you've got to do, all you've got to do is outlast everyone else, mate.
That's
just,
right.
Just don't nail your colours to any mast. You'll be fine. You'll be the last man standing.
So much comfier with that backbone. You probably lie down as well.
I'll be an MP by the end of the week.
And you'll be out again by the week after.
It'll be a hell of a week though.
This was actually a pretty good game to use as a lens for that Moyes discussion we had again, because you know I've got several friends who are West Ham fans, and they're all saying the same thing after the game. You know, typical West Ham, right? We have three really good front players. When they're not playing, we've basically got nothing. We stink the place out, and we end up losing anyway. I mean, that's basically what they're saying. So it's a really difficult thing to sell to your common or garden football fan who doesn't know much about West Ham by saying, this is where they've come from, this is where they are in the league, they've won the Europa Conference League recently. But at the same time, if you are a West Ham fan who's gone to that game at 0 degrees, and that's happened, you're probably pissed off, and rightly so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Ben Rama's a decent player. He's a sort of solid backup to the quality they have now. But I think Maxwell Cornet really showed why he's not been
missing
very
big
often
chances,
yesterday.
Didn't he?
I mean, he didn't. He's had a lot of injuries, to be fair to him. But that drop off is. Mm. I mean, I think it's difficult for Moyes to deal with a drop off in quality there. But this, you know, you would think that it'd have a bit more intensity, because you're right. You know, they just won a trophy. They want to get used to that idea. They want to show that they can compete in a knockout competition. And I think the idea from the West Ham fans I know is that Moyes doesn't necessarily know how to get the best out of these top level players as well. So you've got a strange kind of...
I think that's probably right. And I think also...
I think a lot of those are sort of, if you want, old school British managers would maybe struggle with that a little.
Maybe. I would also say, and add to what you're saying there, guys, that, you know, if you were thinking about a kind of which of these teams would have brought players on to affect the game late on, you'd think it would be West Ham, given their resources. It wasn't. It was actually Bristol City. Yeah, Naki Wells came on and was really good. You know, one or two other subs that Bristol City brought on really took the game to, continue to take the game to West Ham. Just felt like it was an all-round kind of shitty day at the office.
What do you think was a bigger slap in the face for your average Cockney? West Ham losing or EastEnders being taken off air last night to make space
for this
game? It's
hard to separate. And Dean Gaffney's back again on the chat. Gaffney, he's not back in EastEnders now, though, is he?
I wouldn't have thought so.
No. Was that a bit of viral marketing? Just jump in front of his car?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, I mean, moving with EastEnders, you know, which way do West Ham fans turn?
It's a big call.
Yeah, it's difficult to know which to be more pissed off about, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, maybe tell it, what they should probably do is say that it was David Moyes' decision to move EastEnders. everyone could rally around the common enemy, can't they?
Definitely, definitely. Speaking of West Ham injuries, Lucas Paqueta could be out for at least 2 months, which, you know, obviously we're aware that he's injured. Although he didn't seem too concerned about his injury, did old Lucas? He said, every hour increases by a month. Calm down. Calm down, everybody.
Are you talking about the size of his ankle?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, one West Ham fan who is having a lovely time is Ian Nash.
Oh, the Garner man.
The Garner man.
Banana man.
Yeah. I thought that was me.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, it's definitely Mr. Nash. He's the guy who went to Ghana to watch Mohamed Kudus play before. I think before he played for West Ham, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was when they were
linked. Qualifier,
But you recall, perhaps, we know everybody, we talked about him. So, yeah, Ian Nash. And he's a big hero now among the West Ham fans, as you could imagine. He's donating kits to a youth club based in this country and is meeting the Ghanaian Hammers Supporters Club. So he's doing the rounds again, and he's been officially made an ambassador of the club for this particular event, which is a lovely touch.
It's also a galaxy brain move, because he's like, well, I can't watch Mohamed Kudus play for West Ham, which means West Ham will be shit. I'll go and watch him for his national team.
Yeah, but apparently he's off to the AFCON to do this as well. Yeah, so he's off to Ivory Coast. This man is what we need in this country. Because, you know,
see, you said there should be
on the foreign front, we've been diabolical. This Ian Nash, not only is he elevating West Ham, I'd say he's elevating the whole of the United Kingdom.
So what are you saying, 39th Premier League game in Ghana?
Well, if you're going to do it anywhere.
Yeah, you'd prefer it to be Ghana.
And if you need someone to broker the deal, Ian Nash is your man. There, right, Ghana's the place.
Yeah. We'll do it for a bunch of kids. No, Ian! That's the point!
Keep Knowlesy away from it. Yeah, Ian Nash is your man.
Yeah.
Well, Ian Nash might need a bit of security.
Do you
Who
think?
Knows?
Would you like to see Ian Nash do like a Nick Knowles type DIY show when he comes back?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Why not?
Well, we need a new one.
I mean, especially
a travel show.
He's never done anything like that in his life.
No, exactly.
I just think we should keep giving these opportunities to Ian Nash for some reason.
Anything, yeah.
But you mean the Knowlesy who was laying out those fans who were trying to attack the West Ham?
Yeah, he does.
The West Ham band, he's moved it on.
It reminded me of Nick Knowles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
I think he's the modern day Alan Wicker, but there we are.
Could be.
Give him a travel show.
It's a nice little reference there for the younger listeners.
I'm going to Google Alan Wicker. I don't know who that is.
A man who quite literally hasn't been on telly since probably the mid-70s.
Travel shows are just before for comedians and one of their parents now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been dead for 11 years.
That's not that bad.
That has to be fair.
It's not that bad.
It isn't. Is it?
For Marcus's style, okay. That's not too bad.
He's not been
you
on TV.
You mentioned Eusebio.
He's not been on TV for at least 11 years. We know that much.
Oi, okay. You mentioned Eusebio, one of the greatest players of all time.
On a football show. Yeah. Alan Wicker, one of the greatest presenters of all time.
I agree with that.
There we go.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, should we talk about non-league Eastleigh?
Before you
do, want to drag it
can
back?
I just say, when I played football, this is how bad that reference is, right? When I played football like under 12s,
yeah.
And I used to play centre-back for a bit,
yeah.
And I used to like to go forward because I just wanted to be a part of the action because I was young.
Keep
the manager then
keep your Alan Wickers
on. Used to say he's gone on his Alan Wicker again.
Yeah,
and he's gone travelling. Yeah. And even then, in the late 80s, I didn't know what he was talking about.
Late 80s.
You know when they do This Is Your Life, obviously it's like at the quite literally at the end of someone's career.
Yeah.
They did that for Wicker in 1983.
And now we're going to have to explain This Is Your Life. Thanks, Mitch. Just never ended.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know I was alive when it happened.
Yeah, just about.
Non-league Eastleigh's cup run is over after losing to Newport County 3-1.
It's good because no one likes Eastleigh.
I do.
But Andy doesn't, I don't, you don't, you're just saying
no,
that.
No, I've just now decided okay, I do like them.
I do like their badge.
Yeah.
It's a bit Brexit. But
they're in the, what's on the badge?
Just a massive Spitfire.
Winston Churchill poking his head out the window?
Yeah, maybe.
Or Theresa May. Remember that time?
Yeah. And then beneath it is a Fields of Wheat with Theresa May running through it.
Sorry.
Their nickname is the Spitfires. That's basically
sure.
What.
And they are sort of in the Southampton area, right? That's where your disdain comes from?
Yeah,
that's where pathetic disdain comes
Andy
from.
Likes them for another reason. It might be something to do with AFC Wimbledon.
He dislikes them. Yeah,
dislikes them, sorry, yeah.
But Paul McCallum scored a lovely one.
It was a lovely goal.
They got themselves
sadly, it wasn't to be, was it? It wasn't to be. It
wasn't to be because Newport are a better side.
Huge incentive for them to have played against Manchester United.
Well, I was going to say, Newport have a chance to go on another famous cup run because they play Manchester United in the next round.
Yeah, they're bringing Man United back to Rodney Parade, aren't they?
Oh, Rodders, yes.
It's just a great name.
It's one of the most pleasing names. Yeah.
It sounds like Ronnie Pickering.
That's a bit. It does a bit.
It's all very enjoyable.
Who are you? I'm Rodney Parade.
Wolves versus Brentford apparently went to extra time and Wolves apparently won 3-2. I say this because
none of us can find highlights this morning of an FA Cup replay.
Yeah.
Baffling.
So I will take
the jewel in the FA's crown. You know, trying to preserve the tradition and the interest in the world's oldest football cup competition.
Yep.
Are we going to put it on the BBC website? Nah, nothing.
I've seen a lot of children recreating it on FIFA.
Yeah. That'll happen. But apparently it was a good game. Wolverhampton local lad Nathan Fraser scored. Apparently they're very excited about him, young 18.
That would have been lovely to see.
Think of him. I mean, he probably can't even get his mum to watch it.
Well, again, they'll have to, if they weren't at the game, his family, then they'll have to take everyone's word for it.
He's going to have to go in the local park with his mum and reenact it like Phoenix from the Flame.
Yeah. Oh, we were watching you on Teletext, son.
Yeah, that's the best they'll get.
I scored today. No, stop lying. Nathan.
Well, Wolves will travel to Black Country rivals West Brom in the fourth round.
It's a big derby game.
Tasty one. Huge. Tasty.
Huge,
they haven't played each other for a wee while, I don't think.
Well, it sounds like you've got some experience or some knowledge of this when you're saying
because there were a load of West Brom fans kicking off about Gary Neil's comments the day before this game, so it would have been on Monday.
Yeah.
Reading far too much into... Basically, he said, like, the tie doesn't exist yet, we need to get through this, because there was a lot of focus on it already.
Yeah.
We need to get through this game, then we've got a Premier League game, there's a lot on the horizon, basically. And they're like, oh, he's saying we're small time, this, that, and the other. And so as soon as they end up winning this, it's all started up again.
I'm quite excited.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Garrett...
That is quite small time, isn't it?
I love that Garrett Neal's basically like, look, I'm not going to talk about a match that's in the next round. We need to win this game first. Oh, you said... like silly.
But that's the whole beauty of local rivalry, isn't it? People just read into anything. They did actually play each other a couple of times in the Premier League in 2021, apparently. Which I completely forgot about. I thought for some reason I didn't think they were in the Premier League together for about 10 years or so, but they clearly were. And Wolves lost 3-2 to West Brom at home last time.
Yeah, so it's an interesting
one. Well, there was a 1-1 draw at the Hawthorns.
Yeah, Wolves have been preparing for that match, obviously already, because West Brom are are you know, a big opponent, obviously derby rivals and all that kind of stuff, and they've been preparing for that match by playing against the Wolves under eights.
I saw this, yeah.
Yeah,
very awesome.
That's what they think of you, West Brom.
you've got to question the lads' commitment though, because they were, I mean, they weren't really putting it in.
Didn't see a booking. Oh. You hate that, Marcus. Yeah.
Didn't see one point, one of the 7-year-olds actually scored.
Yeah,
well, you won't believe it if you haven't seen it, but they did actually score.
Also, I thought it was like, it's so...
You can watch that, but you can't watch Nathan Fraser's goal.
Yeah. Who also scored for the under-8s.
Honestly, it was embarrassing because they come out and they're, you know, they're so like, they're almost like in awe of these Wolves players, yeah, and they're like really, asking after really them sweet. And like photos and stuff like that. And it's absolutely pathetic.
Need your focus. You've got to be focused.
Some of them probably offered to change shirts at half-time. What kind of message does that send to fans of Wolves under-8?
Yeah. Why are the under-8s wearing West Brom kits? That's what I want to know.
And those of you who are confused that Nathan Fraser scored for the under-8s, it's because he was actually under-8 when the qualification process started.
That's so right.
Still eligible until the end of the competition.
Very much so, yeah. Do you remember in, I'm assuming it was Japan, it was definitely in the Far East somewhere.
100 kids against 8 players or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I think it was Japan, because I think Kagawa was in that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Part of me thinks that Real Madrid were involved somewhere along the line.
I think it's not a unique event. I've seen various iterations of
Dortmund,
this.
Dortmund have done similar.
Have they? Yeah, they just play the long ball.
If you need to pick me up, you know, Dortmund go do a bad, just get Jaden to play. Jaden to play.
That's exactly how Jaden's got his confidence back. Yeah. But what I would say, this is a semi-serious point. Yeah. It's a very nice thing to do because the majority of the statistics are clear. The majority of those kids aren't going to be professional.
Yeah.
Players,
yeah.
But they'll always remember that.
Majority of the kids might not even play for the under-9s.
Exactly. Tough at the top.
Yeah, it is.
But generally, you should see how the video is lovely.
It's great, yeah. Yeah.
When the kid scores the goal, it's just pure joy.
Yeah.
And also, about 90% of those kids, will be poached by Man City by the time they're 10. So
yeah, you'd say so.
No chance they're going to turn out for the first team.
Let's hope so. One man who will never, ever be poached by Manchester City is Jose Mourinho.
Imagine it. Imagine that
move. What a key change that would be.
What a move. Be so good.
I've been doing stadium tours.
I'd love him to come onto stage like Britney Spears did with the on her comeback with the little mic.
Yeah,
it's snake Britney around. Bitch.
Snake around. His
yeah,
shoulders.
Snake around his shoulders. It's Jose bitch.
Marco Materazzi around his shoulders.
yeah, Pep's head in his hand.
Materazzi alongside him, like Paul Bearer.
Yeah. When he was sacked.
My special one.
he was sacked yesterday after 2.5 years in charge of Roma.
We've given that the respect it deserves. Man's lost his job.
Yeah.
Imagine it was a undertaker.
Well, I tell you something with Mourinho. It was. The way they loved him and took to him, it was obviously not as successful as his Inter side, because I mean, come on, you know, that was a number of years ago when he was at the peak of his powers with a bigger and better squad. But, you know, as I say, the way those fans took to him and some of the nights and some of the games that he gave them, you know, it was a modern day version Mourinho of what he did at Inter, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, you kind of, there are various clubs around the world where all you want is a manager who will fight for you.
Yes.
Yeah? Spurs have that with Andrew, something they've searched for a while. Yep. And I suppose you could throw Roma into that purely because of, as you say, how their fans took to them.
Yeah.
And I think, or I wonder, and this is purely just my perception, it seemed like they drew something out of Mourinho.
Yeah.
Felt like there was a bit of light there to accompany the shade that had been building up over all this time.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's, you know, given his comments, not just before he was sacked, but subsequently when he was sacked, more so than ever, I felt like I think he's got one more job in him. He certainly has the appetite for one more job.
Yeah.
Had the appetite for one more job in him.
Yeah, I think this is a real test of how competent your owners are.
Yeah.
This should
specifically
be part of the fit.
Talk of you, Newcastle. Talk of you, West Ham.
The piss potty.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've, you know, from a distance, of course, thoroughly enjoyed Mourinho at Roma. But the fact is, like, I know he's been sacked, and obviously at Inter, look, if you will, I mean, I was sort of a weak comparison in a lot of places, but just the kind of feeling of it. Obviously, he left Inter when he wanted to leave. But with Roma, you know, he has been sacked. But the fact that they sold out the Olympic Stadium there a number of nights, it never gets sold out. You know, it's such a huge stadium. And that Europa Conference League run, which, of course, they would go on and win. I mean, that got everybody going there. First trophy for a while, first European trophy since, what, the Fairs Cup win, and goodness knows when that was. when the Fairs Cup was still around. You know, I think Alan Wicker won it the previous year. So
it was 61, apparently.
Right, and also getting to the final of the Europa League. I mean, unfortunately for him, he came up against Sevilla. Yeah. You know, and there's just some things you can't.
I would also add, and you know, I think Nicky and Andy or Nicky and someone else are going to do a reaction show to this today.
Andy and Nicky,
on the continent. So you can check that out on their feed. But I would also say, I don't know that much about Roma or indeed Italian football, but I think that, you know, it is right to say that Roma are a team, obviously, in the capital, who have always been overshadowed by these other teams in Italy. They only won 3 Serie A titles in their whole lifespan. And I think that what Mourinho was able to do, and again, this is from the outside looking in, he was able to really tap into that kind of underdog mentality.
Definitely.
The way that he does, everyone's against us kind of thing, which is why it kind of didn't really work at Real Madrid philosophically, you know. But at Roma, he can do that. And they've obviously gone away with a load of memories of some great nights, as you've touched on, Marcus. Mm.
Also, he has kind of raised the profile of player they've been able to attract as well. You look at Dybala, Lukaku coming in. I think you could argue that they may not have, you know, been so attracted to Roma if Jose Mourinho wasn't there.
They've also gone even more mental with Daniele De Rossi as a new coach, which
is
amazing.
That. I absolutely great love to see. That.
And look, I think we should be absolutely clear here. The mantra of the Football Ramble is, what's good for the Ramble isn't good for your club. Mm. We need to see Jose Mourinho back in the Premier League. And all these people who are listening going, oh no, is football so boring? It's not the point.
No, it's not the
point. And we need to find a landing spot for him in the Premier League. I don't care if it's West Ham or Newcastle. They're my two front runners, personally.
Yeah.
Either of them will be absolutely fine by me.
Or EastEnders.
Get him in EastEnders, then we can watch him 4 nights a week.
Oh, he's probably already had a cameo in EastEnders. We just didn't, we didn't see.
I think that's unlikely, Marcus, if you don't mind me saying.
True enough. Yeah. I do love the fact that he's been sent off 6 times in the past 2 seasons, though. It's more than any player in Serie A.
The Roma bench has had 29 cards in his time.
That's right, yeah.
That's a legacy.
Now,
right,
we know a man of this parish who pops in and out is David Cartledge, and he loves the rough and tumble of football, shall we say. Yeah. And I just remember him tweeting during that Europa League final against Sevilla, he went, the Roma bench is the place to be.
Yeah.
You know, because it was just all
get stuck in.
Yeah.
You haven't even got a run.
Exactly. If you think you're not playing a part of this, if you've got a subs top,
no chance.
Absolutely not. In fact,
what am I coming on? No.
You're more crucial. You're starting. Not in that way. Are you going to have a placard down at Rome Airport just saying Marini home?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah,
would you like that?
Yeah. My goodness. All right, everybody. In the second half, we've got Everton and Forest getting into a bit of trouble and Andre Onana being calmed down by El Hadj Diouf.
Not a position you should be in.
That shows you where the man's head is at. All right, we'll see you in a minute.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
But I do enjoy watching sport, and if you want to ask me about cricket or sport, then please do.
Who's your football team?
My football? I didn't really have a football team.
So you're not
team.
A sports fan, really?
I'm a cricket fan. Okay. I love sport, and yeah. I enjoy watching sport. Wimborne Town Football Club.
OK.
There we go. Okay. Wimborne Town.
OK, what was their last result?
I couldn't tell you that. The last result that I was there was a very exciting. Lots of goals were scored, and it was a 1-1 draw.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Lots of another cricket man. Man of the man of the bat, Vish. Are you going to defend your man?
Always.
Man of the people, always. Michael Tomlinson, Minister of State for Illegal Migration there. He decides who comes in. Mm. Get him out. That's what I say. Get him out.
It's a Tory sport, and it's always annoying when that represents itself to you.
Now, Vish is more of a beefy man. He's more of both of them, isn't he?
I mean, aren't we all?
Yeah. Vish, what are you thinking?
Don't say that.
Can we get him out as well?
Get him out.
Both of them out.
Yeah. Lord both of them.
Yeah, no, we can't. We absolutely can't. Yeah.
Don't tell Beefy to get things out. He's already done that.
Lord Beefy.
Lord.
But not for the reason you're thinking.
Yeah. Lord of the penis.
Lord of the dance.
Right, okay.
We're the Scottish school children when you need them.
Take a tear of his strips off him.
Oh, dear. Right. The Premier League has charged Everton and Nottingham Forest.
What a pivot. What a pivot that is.
From one of this country's finest ever sportsman's penis to Everton and Nottingham Forest being charged with breaching its profit and sustainability rules in their accounts for 2022-2023. Both cases have now been referred to the chair of the judicial panel. It took approximately 8 months for the initial charge for Everton's current points deduction to be given, if you like. So, yes, I mean, Everton have obviously come out strongly with a statement saying the club must now defend another Premier League complaint, which includes the very same financial periods for which it had already been sanctioned before that appeal has even been heard. The club takes the view that this results from a clear deficiency in the Premier League's rules. So, understandably, they're not best happy about that. Forest have said they're confident of a speedy and fair resolution. It was interesting with the Forest one, because the sale of Brennan Johnson is central to this case. Forest, of course, sold Johnson to Spurs, but they did decide to wait to get a higher price. So it's an interesting one. Apparently, they could have sold him for about 10 to 15 million less.
But it speaks to the absolute shambles that it is, because how would the FFP deadlines not lined up with the transfer deadlines?
Yeah.
How are they not even acknowledging that people absolutely. Do business and the most business they do is buying and selling players, and that massively affects their bottom line, so they're not even going to align the dates?
Well, it's demonstrably better for Forest sustainability to get more money, right? Yeah. That's their argument.
And surely this highlights that, and surely you would think that that will be changed.
Well, it'll be to do with like reporting and financial years and stuff like that, so I guess it's maybe a bit more complicated than I'm making it out to be, but it doesn't look great.
Yeah, but I think, and this is what Forest are going to argue, they think, okay, fine, you might have sort of deadlines and cutoffs here, but look at this piece of evidence.
But you said there it's central to the case, and I understand that's right, really what's been talked about a lot for the reasons you've stated. But actually, you know, it is part of the case, but the case really
central to Forest's case.
Yeah, but it really that's going
to
be.
Well, no, it's central to Forest. Yeah, Forest's
defense. Their defense. But ultimately, it's probably going to hinge on the fact that, you know, Nottingham Forest have signed over 40 players.
42 players.
Yeah, for £200 million, I think, since they've come up to the Premier League. Mm. Now, I understand that the landscape of football at the top level is completely skewed towards big clubs, and that's been the case for a while now, and none of us, you know, particularly happy about that. But ultimately, you don't have to do that.
No.
Like Luton Town haven't done that. Mm. You know, Burnley haven't done that. You know, there's been teams that have been promoted that haven't done that. They've decided to do that because their owner is a certain type of character and they've behaved quite irresponsibly. The Everton thing as well. I mean, I saw Oliver Kay in Athletic, I think it was, who's always good on this kind of stuff, saying that, you know, we understand that Everton fans are upset, but they should be upset at their ownership, not at the Premier League.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I think a lot of them are, to be fair.
Yeah, but the big protest, Jim, when the points deduction happened, was very much of that flavour.
Of course,
there's
this idea of the they're being Premier put upon corrupt, somehow. Aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm very confused by this idea that they might be punished again for the same financial periods for which they've already been sanctioned. Presumably, when it comes down to it, the Premier League won't do that because that would be insane.
There's an overlap of the amount of money that they went over that falls within this next
new
period.
Thing.
So it will be a different charge for different things that happen in the same period. Is that right?
Not quite the same period though. That's the thing.
Right.
I'm a little bit confused by their statement there, but
the financial activity bleeds over into a new reporting period.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Well, that's the best way of putting it.
Yeah.
I think also it's important to remember that like. When you argue against, even with the protest against this nebulous like Premier League concept, mm-hmm. you're arguing against 20 teams there. There isn't like some governing body. Rather, the Premier League isn't a governing body that sits above it. It's made up of the 20 teams who all made this ruling.
And they were also, my understanding as well is that these charges were recommended by an independent body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It gets given to, once they decide, well, actually there's no decision to be made because... You know, when you read into it, Everton and Forest... Mm-hmm.
They've broken the rules.
Yeah, right? but they acknowledge that they've broken the rules. So it's not necessarily about pleading innocence. It's, as you say, it's defending what they've done.
Which is why
excuses for what they've done.
Yeah, which is why the Forest one is very, very interesting. And again, we could all sit here and say, well, it makes sense to wait for the price. You can get more for the player.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know...
The rules are the rules.
But the rules
don't spend all the money then.
But the rules are also the rules. And so it makes sense in one regard. But again, if you look at it from the Premier League, as they have other clubs, namely Everton, with the same sort of problem, if they are seen to show some sort of, I suppose, understanding with this and not say, no, you've broken the rules, if they kind of essentially bend the rules, really.
They can't do that.
It really is going to put them in a lot of bother. So the idea that Forrest will kind of sweet talk them, I'm not as confident.
Well, they've got to take a position. They've got to defend themselves. I mean, by the way, which is worth pointing out, on one or two occasions, the ownership at Everton didn't even bother defending themselves against some of the charges. So that tells you its own story. but I would say that they can't be seen to be banned the rules. I should also say this because we're going to...
That's not my opinion, whether they should or not.
No, I know that. But we should also say, because we're going to get a lot of people who are going to message us. I can just see it coming now, and the rest of the week's going to be a write-off, because people are going to say, what about Man City? It's worth pointing out the Man City case has been fought very vigorously by very expensive lawyers, which maybe tells its own story. But also, the charges are numerous and very, very different.
It's a very complex
case. Yeah, so that's why that's a separate situation to this kind of open and shut idea about whether the law's been broken or not. There needs to be due process. So then it's not worth comparing them because it's like apples and oranges. But I just want to make that clear so we don't...
Well, not every case,
gloss that over.
You know, whatever its nature of a similar crime in the courts,
But it's a completely different thing.
Totally.
So, and I also want to add that what the Premier League should be doing going forward, and they need to learn from this, is that they need to get their timing right. They need to understand that, the season always runs from X to Y, pretty much with, the odd date here or there, the same time every year. We're talking about... I don't have any sympathy for the way the ownership of Forest have behaved. I obviously have sympathy for the fans because it's not within their control. But what I do have sympathy for is that, the latest information is saying that Forest could find out what the punishment's going to be in April. Yeah. I mean, it's a month before the end of the season.
Yeah, well, it needs to be hanging over them.
And I don't think it's at all... we've seen it elsewhere in Europe as well. I think we've seen it with Juventus, where points have been taken off, then the appeals happen in the middle of the season, points have gone back on. That fundamentally undermines the integrity of a competition for all the other clubs
as
well. They need to be able to execute these processes outside of the season. It needs to happen, within the summer, or possibly within a kind of winter break, but obviously we don't have that here, because otherwise people don't know where they are. And it affects other teams massively, because no other team knows actually what points they need to get if they're battling against relegation, or what they need to do to get into Europe, because a team may be reduced deducted points and they may get added on again. So they need to get their fucking house in order, is what the Premier League need to do. But I don't think you can have any sympathy with the behaviour that's been exhibited by the ownership at Everton for a number of different reasons, and now for the ownership at Forest. You could see this coming at Forest. They signed 42, 43 players. They signed four keepers in one season. Mm. You don't have to do all that stuff.
No.
You chose to do it, and the sustainability rules, if they've been proven to be broken, means you have to take your punishment.
Well, they are very different situations, aren't they? Because Everton have had bad luck with the situation with Usmanov, and obviously moving to a new stadium is very, very, very costly, and obviously that's not been brilliantly managed. But it's very, very different, as you say, from the Forest situation. So they signed 42 players. A good number of those never even made an appearance for the club.
Mm.
There's a sense they're just sort of seeing what happens in a quite sort of immature way. And there are suggestions in a few articles I've seen that a couple of agents are kind of onto that and are sort of just test the waters with Forest and kind of take advantage of that kind of slapdash nature of it, which is just sad.
Yeah, and but with regards to Everton, it's particularly frustrating for them because they've had their points deduction and actually they've responded on the pitch and what Dyche is doing pretty well, you would say.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, win is another thing. And this, as you say, could hang over the club. Whereas with that one, if you will, it happened. There's the punishment. Okay, if you have an appeal and if you get something back, it's, well, I was going to say a bonus. It would be a bonus. It would be seen as justice, of course. But you know what you're dealing with, if you see what I mean. And as I say, they've played it. But this hanging of this idea in April or whenever it may
be.
Well,
it was one of the things that was brought up in the DCMS committee to Richard Masters. That if so many teams are under this kind of scrutiny and being deducted points, like, what is the point of the league table?
What kind of operation are you running?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you're ultimately responsible for the governance and for the integrity of competition. On the Everton point, I must slightly disagree with Jim. They've chose to build a new stadium. They decide they need one.
Well, Jim didn't say it's been badly managed. He said
it has been badly managed.
But he's saying that where the finances have gone, it's different to Forest.
Bear in mind with Forest as well, which we haven't touched on, when they got promoted, they basically, that promotion season was, their squad was littered with important loan players.
Yeah.
And we knew that coming into the season they would have to recruit. Mm-hmm. We just didn't know it'd be a slapdash as how it was.
Yeah.
I also just think, you know, I mean, look at the Spurs situation. They spent however much it was on the new stadium. They had to cut their cost accordingly for years and everyone was complaining about it. Well, the upshot is they're now not in that position. Everton have chosen the ownership have chosen to behave in a certain way.
You can say Everton, they represent Everton.
Yeah, and it's officially. It's nothing to do with the Man City thing. It's nothing to do with, there's definitely questions to be answered around governance and around how it's done at the Premier League level, at the top level. But as the rules are as they are, you know, it's a pretty basic thing to do. Don't spend loads of money.
But the Premier League got to be careful. You've got no God-given right to be the most commercially successful league in the world.
Well, there are four clubs with these questions over them. Very, very different sets of questions when you throw Man City and Chelsea in as well, who have obviously self-reported issues they've had. And I think it really shows that an independent regulator is needed.
Big time. Totally. And that's without even taking into account the absolute vast swathes of Football League clubs that have gone to the wall.
Absolutely.
Good news for Everton, though, is that they take on Crystal Palace tonight in their FA Cup third round replay, the game they all wanted.
Chance to escape from the admin for 90 minutes.
Yeah, let's hope it's a better game than the...
Well, it cannot be worse.
Well, it can be. You wouldn't have the controversy of the sending off. At least we had a talking point.
That's true.
It could have been a replay of England-Algeria in that World Cup.
Yeah. True, that's true. And that Marcus, you came out in favour of the officials and they overturned it, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they got my face, as I said at the time, so I hold my hands up.
I
think I'll grow and get better from this.
I doubt that.
And
evidence of that so far.
Well, no, I think I'll bounce back. I think I'm stronger for it. And other such Joe Hart kind of comments.
Speaking of that, we also were treated to another Howard Webb, Michael Owen refereeing decisions TV show this week. It should be renamed to the things that you got annoyed about a month ago that you finally got past being dredged up again show. Because that's basically what it was.
Just a month ago.
But
the only way around that is if they were on like TikTok Live. I'm like, join us as we make excuses for all the decisions as they happen.
Roy Hodgson, interestingly, has thrown his Palace hat into the ring for signing Calvin Phillips.
I'd love this for him. I love this for everyone.
Come on, parties.
I mean, Calvin, if you are listening, just have a look at Conor Gallagher. It worked very well for him.
There's a lot of now interest in Calvin Phillips because I think it was certainly the first week of the window. He was being linked to places who didn't really need him, but then obviously Palace. You know, Hodgson's just come out and said it publicly. But also Newcastle have lost Joel Linton for this season now. So having decided, I think the talk was at the time that the loan fee was too much.
Yeah.
Certainly something they didn't want to commit to, given obviously they want to stay within the profit and sustainability thing as well. now their hand has been forced a little bit.
I think you say there's linked with clubs that don't really need him. I think he improves 90% of the Premier League teams.
Well, no, he didn't really need him in terms of like what they had at the time. I'm saying it's changed a lot now because of the scale of the injuries that people have
picked
up.
That's
as well.
And also, the reason he's been linked, though, also, surely has to be because he's an absolutely fantastic midfield player who never plays.
I mean, that's part of it.
And also, you'd back him. He's got such a great engine and he's still very young that I don't think it would take him long to get up to speed.
No.
Also, you
know?
I don't know that, but I would suspect.
Well, we've seen for England that
That was a little while ago now, but yes, that was a...
But he does a bit of... Like, the Man City didn't just sign him to put him on their bench.
Right.
They acknowledge the fact that... But at Leeds, he did really impressive things, and he's a very dexterous midfielder. Yeah, it's not just the engine. Mm-hmm. Technical quality on the ball,
well,
passing.
Indeed, and just, to kind of echo that, just a great player who you see him sitting on the bench getting no minutes. It's... Like, come on. It's sad. It really is. And I agree with you, Luke. I think he improves the vast majority of teams in the Premier League. I mean, he was even linked with Juventus as well.
I think a move to a big European team would be good for him. I also, and this is a bit of a rogue one, and I understand that this will never happen, but given the frontline injuries that Spurs got, I mean, the midfield players they've got, you know, Bissouma, Sarr, Bentancur, you know, a lot of those players have either, in Bentancur's case, have got massive injury issues. I mean, he was fantastic at Old Trafford, but he's had injury problems. You've got players missing through Africa Cup of Nations as well. You know, I mean, Man City would probably never let it happen, and maybe Ange doesn't think he fits with what they want to do. But I mean,
you can get him in on loan. I understand.
It's just an example that he could improve a lot of top teams.
You can get him in on loan. I understand the finances are obviously the big question mark here. You get him in and he has a good time, there's every chance you could then sign him in the summer. A player in his prime, he's 20. I was saying he was young a minute ago. I mean, younger than us. But he's young to me.
It's just like Zlatan.
But you could have a player there who could play for your club for the next sort of 4 or 5 years or something like that.
It feels like it's the kind of move that benefits absolutely everyone. It benefits a player, benefits the club he's going to, and also benefits Man City because it makes sure his value at least... If it doesn't say level at this point, then certainly goes up.
Also, the position and the way he plays, Marcus, to bail you out a little bit. I mean, he could play that position for a very long time. Yeah. 28's not old for that position.
The Yorkshire Pirlo. Speaking of players who once played in a similar role to that, there's been reports that Palace are interested in Michael Carrick as a replacement for Roy Hodgson.
I think that's a nice move as well.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I think he's...
But let Roy leave. Let him... You know, have his little standing ovation before you start talking about other
things. He's already done that once.
Yeah.
A bit around the pitch.
Specifically for Crystal Palace.
Not flying.
Yeah.
he's walking around. No, Palace he went. He had it at Palace as well. He came back again.
He kind of also did it when he was at Watford.
That's what I'm saying.
That was it. He did it. He did it at Watford. He did it
at Palace.
Watford.
Which is why I was specifically saying.
When they got relegated. Yeah,
that would be a good
one. It's a nice move for Carrick because it feels like, I mean, remains to be seen what Carrick can finish off doing in...
Could be a League Cup winner.
At Middlesbrough. But he has, I mean, what's kind of often overlooked with him is that I feel like he's had quite a good apprenticeship as a coach at Manchester United as well. I know not the club that they were, perhaps, but I mean, he's been involved there for a while before he went to Middlesbrough as well. Feels like a natural step for him to go to somewhere like Palace. And Palace, they need to get past this reliance on Roy Hodgson for all the obvious reasons.
To be fair, they have tried, and the people they've tried have been sandwiched between Hodgson stints, really. So they tried Frank de Boer, didn't work. Yeah. Hodgson comes in. They tried Patrick Vieira, didn't work.
Well, Vieira
Hodgson
worked
comes in.
For a bit.
Well, it did, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Hodgson comes in. You know, they get rid of him, Hodgson comes in. So yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I need to get past it.
He was only there to steady the ship, though, wasn't he? Was the plan. We're at that point now where it's relatively steady. And I mean, is it a risk this much of a step up to go for Carrick now? I guess it depends on
well, they're not going for Carrick now. They're interested when he replaces. Hodgson will see out the rest of the season. So, I mean, look in other countries, specifically Italy. I know they have a much higher level of coaching there. But sort of not younger, but if you look at some of the CVs of Italian managers, they'll have coached some sort of lower half Serie A teams and then bang, they get the big job. But the difference is then the level of quality of coaching there is high, that some of them actually go on and do a pretty good job. You know,
I would just say, in the context of like the current championship, where there's some really good teams, I mean, teams that are flying, they're a point off the playoffs as we record this today, and they might get to a League Cup final. I mean, it's hard to see how.
I think he's earned the right to be in that discussion.
Yeah.
But speaking of tonight's FA Cup third round replay, Pete and Andy will be giving you a Ramble Reacts tonight following tonight's conclusion to those FA Cup third round replays. Do subscribe now so you don't miss that or any episode. I hope for their sake that it's a much better game. And all of our sakes, quite
frankly.
Well,
to be fair, the game, there was a 3-2 in the Premier League earlier this season, so you know, you never know.
Yeah, that doesn't count for anything, though.
Doesn't.
Let's go to the Africa Cup of Nations. Another upset! Blimey O'Reilly. Namibia won their first ever AFCON match, beating Tunisia 1-0. The Brave Warriors.
Great nickname.
Are ranked 115th in the world. My goodness. It's an embarrassing one for Tunisia, Jim, but a great one for Namibia.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to put it.
No, there is
literally
not.
No. I mean, they're in a great position now, Namibia.
They are.
Absolutely fantastic.
There's been some right shocks, hasn't there? Cape Verde, of course, and
yeah.
Mozambique, very, very unlucky, just moments away from a victory, but a point against Egypt is respectable.
Also, that's a way to do a shock, 88th minute winner.
88th yeah. minute winner, absolutely. Mauritania didn't cause a shock. They were beaten by Burkina Faso 1-0. Aston Villa's Bertrand Traoré got the goal for the Faso in the 96th minute. A penalty it was. So, yeah, gutting for Mauritania, who do have former Fulham player Aboubakar Kamara in their ranks.
Can't
nice
believe
to
you
see
called him the Faso when their nickname is the Stallions.
Yeah, well.
Could have gone with that.
True enough.
Could have
gone
with that, mate.
But it was nice to see Kamara in there. On the team sheet, it seems like he's got a new name, AK-47.
He's got it on the back of his shirt, hasn't he?
I'm all for it.
It's the thin end of the wedge, though, Jim. I mean, you know, before you know it, in the
I
Premier
welcome
League,
the wedge.
You've got the wedgie. Got me back at school. Before you know it, you've got Ash the Bash on the back of the shirt.
I don't think this is 47. Ash the Bash. It's all welcome to me.
I don't. Look, I love what you're doing.
Hated
here.
Martin.
Cum dog. Yeah. Hated Martin.
Cum dog. You remember cum dog?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
hated
yeah.
Martin was one of your mates at school.
No, it was someone I met once in a pub. He was introduced to me as Hated Martin.
Was he a knob?
Immediately. Yeah. Yeah. Incredible.
Well, isn't there another guy? Jim the Fish or something?
That's him.
Keith the Fish.
He
had a skullet. Yeah. It's called Keith the Fish because all he ever spoke about was what he had for dinner and it was always fish. Very yeah. disappointing.
There
was a kid at my school.
You don't want the fish on the back of
Street Rat.
Street Rat? You don't want that on the
lovely
back of the shirt.
Lovely kid. His mates just decided to stitch him up.
You grew up.
I'd be absolutely fine with someone having Street Rat on the back of their shirt.
You grew up in well, it's almost Essex, but it is technically East London.
Zone 6, yeah. No one will let me say it's London. But it's
I know, I will.
London
the borders were redrawn in 1965.
Did you vote in the mayoral elections?
Yeah.
Then you're in then.
Indeed. Yeah.
But I'm saying that's why, you know, that part of the world traditionally has these nicknames, you know, like Jim the Fish.
Or Kiki the Fish.
Well, because they're from Essex.
No, because the old Cockney boys and all that.
Because you're saying they're gangsters.
But originally, that was a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like, there was one gangster called like Mick the Hat or something, and it was like, why was he called that? Because he often used to wear a hat.
Yeah. Jack the Hat.
Jack the Hat.
Jack
McNitty.
The Hat. There yeah. you go.
Got killed by one of the crows.
Murdered by Ronnie Cray in the Blind Beggar pub. For a time, you could buy a commemorative coin of it in there.
It's Jim's life, everybody.
It is. He lives it. He lives it, so you don't have to.
Yeah, that's why he's defending AK-47.
Yeah.
and Jack the Hat. Yeah, Cameroon drew 1-1 with Guinea in their opening match. Andre Onana, of course.
He's having a great tournament.
He travelled straight.
He's just not playing any games.
He travelled straight from that game that Manchester United played the other day against Spurs, of course, to the African Nations in Ivory Coast. Now, it's a big trip. It is a big trip. And he was expecting to be on the bench for Cameroon. He understood that because he'd committed to Manchester United, he wasn't going to start for Cameroon, which, you know, all being well, he probably would, despite walking out of the World Cup or certainly leaving the World Cup. They drew 1-1 with Guinea. Again, a bit of a surprise result there, you'd certainly say. Bad weather, though, meant that he only arrived 3 hours before kickoff. And subsequently, he was left out of the squad entirely. Now, you can understand that from Cameroon's point of view.
100%.
Yeah. This chap, you know, he's we've had previous with him in the World Cup. He said he's going to turn up. He's not here yet. Now, even if it is, like, sorry, you know, we've got to pick the squad because of the weather and so on, or even if they're thinking, blimey, is he going to turn up? They've got to name the squad. They have. But Onana can't, he's not having any of this. He was very, very upset and reportedly was heard saying, if I wasn't going to play or make the team, then why did I come here in a private jet? Now, what a way to endure yourself.
sounds like a man who paid for the private jet.
Yeah.
Also, like, I mean, why do you expect to play? If you're on the bench, yeah. you're probably not going to play yeah. anyway.
He arrived in the country at 5 a.m. that morning.
Mm. Yeah.
Surely he can't be thinking that he's getting off the bench.
Yeah. And by the way, Cameroon have a pretty illustrious history in this competition. They've won it 5 times. Mm. It's not as though they're also Rans.
Well, they've also got an illustrious legacy of goalkeepers. I understand that some of Onana's teammates, they play for big clubs. You know, you've got, what have we got, Marseille and Napoli. And one or two others sort of represented, but some of them play for smaller clubs and won't be on the kind of money that Onana is playing with, and they know he's a bit big time, and so to turn up and hear him shout, I was at a private jet to get here, why am I not playing?
I want to run around.
Yeah, I fear that he may not be playing in this tournament for very long.
It's a big decision for big chief, Rigobert Song, to make for the next game, isn't
it? Yeah, I'd love that Rigobert Song's in charge.
Because it's been reported he said that. I don't know if it's an official interview that Andrea Nana gave to the press, but if that's how he's behaving... You've got to understand that the manager may make another decision.
Do you have any sympathy for him, though? Because he's clearly busted a gut to get there.
I just think the tournament is a tournament. You knew when it was going to happen. Mm. You've already walked out of one tournament. You can't play the Spurs game. Yeah, you can't play it. Join up with your squad. Yeah. Join up with your teammates.
And if the compromise is that you are going to play in the Spurs game, accept that this game is not going to feature you.
And, yeah. do you think these are the words of El Hadj Diouf, who apparently had to calm him down?
Imagine finding yourself in that position.
You to put your phone down, isn't it?
It's like Piers Morgan telling you to be reasonable.
Andre, mate, I think you're looking a bit like a twat here.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me.
There's actually video footage of El Hadj Diouf talking to him.
Yeah. I didn't make it out.
No, I know you didn't.
Yeah, it's overheard from the conversation that he's on video. That's where this reported quote comes from.
Mm. Yeah, and the picture of Andre now looking really happy, presumably for his Instagram, on his private jet in a great outfit.
Yeah,
he's full of smiles.
He looks great, doesn't he?
That looks magnificent. Yeah, I suppose he's thinking, off I go, everybody on the bench. I'll probably get on at half time. It didn't work out.
I wouldn't have dressed like this if I wasn't playing. I look like a right belly.
Oh dear. Well, he was spitting mad. So just as well, El Hadj Diouf was there to calm him down.
Yeah.
A man who knows what that's
all
about.
Don't explain it. Yeah. Fine, leave it there.
I didn't explain it. Yeah. I said a man who knows what that's about.
Take people to the joke. Don't shut them around the joke.
Do you want to do go on then. You thank everybody for listening to the Ramble.
Thanks everyone for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Mm-hmm. Pete and Andy are back tonight. Thank God. Some of the better ones. For a Ramble Reacts following the FA Cup replay tonight.
Keep going.
But Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut when I'll properly get stuck into Marcus.
Yeah, read the whole thing.
Luke's a pick.
Shambles.
Marcus tried to type into the read, Luke's a prick, but he got it wrong. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, sign up now to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Marcus.
And I did that because I'm a bad speller.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.